So my New Year's series is entitled Rooted. Everyone say rooted. Now, if you look at the definition rooted, it means to be firmly planted. It means to be established. It means to be grounded, firmly fixed, and settled. So it's very vital for you and I to be rooted. Now, the text we're going to look at this morning is Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. And I want you to help me to read, if you would. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Now, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amplified version, if you would. I want you to do a little bit better job. You can help me today by reading along with me. Amplified, ready, read. Go ahead. Verse 7, having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Amen. So we see the principle of being rooted. Now, when we are rooted, we are not shaken. Being rooted, then, will hold us sound. It will hold us stable when trouble comes. Now, there's practical ways that we can all be rooted. Number one, how about this? Daily intake in God's Word. You know, the book of Psalms says this in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. This is our delight in 2026. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, you could say in the word of God. And in his law, or in his word, does he meditate day and night. Now the word meditate simply means to think upon. It means to ponder. It also means to speak out loud to thyself. You know, it's okay to talk to yourself. Doesn't matter what the person next to you in the car thinks when you're going down the road and you're talking to yourself. They're probably doing the same thing. They may be talking something else, but we're talking God talk. We're talking word talk. Amen. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There again, that principle of being rooted and being planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So it is the will of God for every one of us to be fruitful in 2026. We are not to be fruitless, we are to be fruitful. We shall bring forth his fruit in his season. And I love this last part. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So as you are rooted and as you are planted by the rivers of water, through daily intake of God's word, through meditating on God's word, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Amen. I like that. How else can we be rooted? How about this? Prayer. That includes listening, not just talking. That includes listening, and not just talking. And then number three, and these are just some ways, you can think of other ways that you can be planted. But this is a very important one. It's very important for all of us to be planted in healthy soil. Planted in healthy soil. Now, I'm going to talk to you about the local church. The local church should be a safe place. The local church should be a place of rich soil where you can be rooted, where you can be planted, where you can find a place of service so that you can flourish in the courts of the Lord your God. Now, are you ready to read some more? I believe I got hundreds of readers today. Hundreds of people watching online. All right, Psalm 92. Ready, read. Go ahead. Shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived and stately, upright, useful and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, durable, and incorruptible. Woo! Next verse. Planted in the house of the Lord. Everyone stop right there. Planted in the local church. Planted in the house of the Lord. This is the Lord's house. Somebody said, well, I thought we were the Lord's house. Yes, we are the Lord's house, but this is his house as well, where we congregate to learn, to grow, to worship, to be in community with one another. And one of us gets in trouble, praise the Lord, we take our shields of faith and we lock them together and we declare in the name of Jesus, devil, you are a defeated foe. Hands off God's property. Planted. Not cruising around, but planted in the local church. They're the ones, you are the ones, we are the ones, they're going to flourish in the courts of our God. Next verse, verse 14. Ready, read. Growing in grace. Stop right there. When you are planted in God's word and in the local church, you should be growing in the grace of God. Did you know that his grace can grow in your life? Let's continue to read. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Did you hear that, second winders? They shall still bring forth fruit in older age. They shall be full of sap. Doesn't mean they're saps. No, they're going to be full of sap. What does that mean? Of spiritual vitality. On fire. While the rest of the world is cold, while the rest of the world is growing old and being crippled by the circumstances of life, you that are planted in the house of the Lord shall be full of sap. Full of spiritual vitality. And rich. Everyone say rich. Did you know that rich is a Bible word? And rich in the verdure of trust and contentment. So, daily doses of God's word through meditation. Prayer, not just doing all the talking, but doing some listening. And then number three, being planted in healthy soil. A healthy spiritual environment. Where you're hearing the right voices. You're having the right kind of fellowship. Because you're always in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people, getting the right results. Now, Mark 4 deals with what happens when we allow ourselves to be plucked up. Or when we allow ourselves not to be rooted. Now, I want to say this. God's word is exciting. And God's word is inspirational. But I want to talk to you just for a few moments about that as we look at Mark, the fourth chapter, and verse 14. Ready? Read. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard it, Satan waits in your car. Whatever. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's the wayside. Look at your neighbor and say, we're not wayside around here. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, now notice, immediately they receive it with gladness. Now, you're receiving the word today. And you're not receiving it with sadness. You're receiving it with gladness. But there's more to it than just being happy about the word that is being preached. Notice with me. But have no root in themselves. Have no root in themselves. So endure for a time afterward when affliction and persecution ariseth for what? The devil's after that word. You need to protect the word of God that you have heard. Amen. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, I looked up that word offended. It's an interesting word. One translation says, they wilt and fall away. They wilt and fall away. Something happens, and you don't see them in church. Something happens, and you don't see them. Why? Because persecution and all of those things have arisen for the word's sake. You know, the Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer some tests. We're going to suffer some persecution. So welcome to the club. But we, even though we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. Even though we may be perplexed, we are not cast down. Immediately they are offended. Listen, wilting and falling away is not the will of God. His will is to flourish. His will is to bloom. His will is for us to revive. So again, immediately they receive the word with gladness. Listen to this statement. Joyful reception is not the same as rooted faith. Being rooted comes from revelation, not just inspiration. Are you listening to me? Inspiration excites you, but revelation establishes you. Revelation gets you rooted. Revelation gets you grounded. Revelation, knowledge. It's what the psalmist talked about in Psalm 112. When he said, the person that fears the Lord, here's what's going to happen to him or her in verse 8. Read it with me. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. I like to shout on that. His heart is rooted. His heart is fixed. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy. Woo, glory to God. What this is saying is your heart becomes established and fixed through revelation knowledge. So what is revelation knowledge? It's good to know what it is. Revelation knowledge is not head knowledge. It's not what you know up here. It's what you don't know down here. It's what you see in your spirit. It's the revelation, glory to God, that's the truth that is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this, that moves from information to illumination. Say it with me, information to illumination, and the result is transformation. Transformation. We are at a time of a year right now where people by the millions are wanting to make changes. I want to change my diet. I want to change my workout. I want to go to the gym. You know, I want to do this. I need change in my attitudes. And that's a good thing. People by the millions in America, you know, every year there's New Year's resolutions. And they're made, and they're fine, and they're good. But it is revelation that ultimately brings transformation. Resolutions focus on self-effort. Revelation focuses on God's truth taking root. Resolution says, I'll do better. I'll stop failing. I will change. Now, I don't mean to, pop your balloon, but I read this the other day. The reality is that 41% of U.S. adults making resolutions every year, only 25% remain committed after a month. Worse still, less than 10% end up accomplishing them at all. I'm feeling the drums and the organ and everything. Listen to this. Unfortunately, most people actually throw in the towel on their New Year's resolutions in the first few weeks of January. As a result, the second Friday in January is often called Quitter's Day. Ain't no quitters up in here. Ain't nobody gonna throw in the towel here. Here's what Revelation says. Revelation says, this is who I am in Christ. In Christ I can, and in Christ I will. This is God's word, and God's word is true in my life. This is now how I will live. So revelation knowledge, friends, removes the strain from change. So this morning, a subtitle of this message is, not New Year's resolutions, but New Year's revelations. Amen. New Year's revelations. Back in 1977, Brenda and I graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center. One of the biggest, greatest decisions I ever have made in my life. Went there and sat under the ministry of Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. We started in 1976. Then in 1977, we graduated. We both worked for the ministry. Brenda actually worked in the jail ministry. I didn't say she was in jail or in prison. But she worked in the correspondence with prisoners. And I worked in shipping and receiving. And then after a while, I worked in the tape department, where I edited Brother Hagin's messages. I sent them out by the hundreds to radio stations all over the United States. Think about that. Think about being paid for being in the Word of God 8 hours a day. When Brother Hagin would teach, for example, a series called How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, they would give me the reel-to-reel tape, reel-to-reel recording, and they said, this needs to be a 90-minute message. Amen. So it was up to me to cut out what needed to be cut out so that it could be a 90-minute cassette. Amen. I'm telling you what, that's how I grew in the Word. God's word just began to become real and alive in me. But then in 1977, once we graduated, we got married, July 22nd. Amen. And then, eventually, we went out on the road. And I remember the first church I ever preached in Minnesota. It was a little town called Spicer, Minnesota. Pastor Arvid Pavarud. And they gave me the privilege of ministering Sunday morning and Sunday night. Well, I had just heard a message by Jerry Savelle. And Jerry Savelle's teaching was on the established heart, or the rooted heart, the planted heart. And the subtitle of his series was Seven Major Revelations Every Believer Should Know. Say that with me. Seven major revelations every believer should know. Ooh, man, I preached that morning, and I preached that night. I preached myself happy. Why? Because it was on the inside of me, and I was able to communicate it to others. And I believe today that's what we're doing in this house. So one of the major revelations that all of us need to be rooted, planted, and grounded in is what we're going to look at today. Now, I want to say this before I get into this, because when I get into it, some people check out. They say, well, I've heard that before. Well, how many of you know that faith does not come by having heard? But rather, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And also, I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul said, I planted the seed of God's word in your church, in the church at Corinth. I planted. But then Apollos came along and Apollos watered. So that which has been planted in you, maybe for decades, maybe for weeks, that which has been planted needs to be watered. Why? So that God can give the increase. And we're not just talking about increase financially. I'm talking about an increase in revelation knowledge. An increase in scriptures maybe that you have seen before, and now you're seeing them in a greater way. The Holy Spirit is taking it and expanding this into your heart, and it will change and bring transformation for you in 2026. Amen. So are you ready? Just for a few moments more this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and I want us to notice in verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Notice with me it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Say it with me, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
When you get born again, you are in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is in you. So it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Who of God has been made unto us what?
Wisdom.
He's been made unto us wisdom. Say it with me, Jesus is my wisdom. Who of God who has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Notice that word, righteousness. And notice that word, made unto us. The reason why Jesus could be made unto us righteousness is because he took our sinfulness. Because he took our unrighteousness. Because he took our sin and cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. He was made sin for you. Who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how he's been made unto us righteousness.
Amen.
Through his supernatural sacrificial offering on Calvary.
Amen.
In his death, in his burial, and his resurrection from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. So righteousness is something that we do not try to get. Righteousness is something we already are. Well, Pastor Mark, I'm trying to be righteous. You were born righteous in God's sight.
Amen.
You know, if Raul came up to me and said, he would never say this, but just for an illustration, Pastor Mark, I'm trying to be a man. Well, he already is a man. Why? He was born as a man. So stop trying to be righteous by keeping the law and enter into the grace of God and receive the free gift of righteousness. It's a free gift. And last time I checked in this house, there ain't nobody in this house opposed to getting a free gift. You announce free food, you almost got to, you know, close the doors. Because people come, and they come early. Well, this righteousness is a free gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't attain to it. God loved you so much that he just made you right in his sight. And it gives you, now listen to this, it gives you the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God as if sin never existed before, without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority, coming boldly to the throne of grace. Whoo! My Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. We're bold to go before the throne of grace. We're bold toward heaven. We're bold toward earth. We're bold toward demonic spirits under the earth and in the earth. We are bold. Say with me, I am bold because he has made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, if God says, come boldly, you should be coming boldly.
Amen. That's right.
And that also means if we can come boldly before the throne of grace, we can sure enough. Everyone say, sure enough.
Sure enough.
We can sure enough stand up boldly against the onslaughts of the enemy. We can stand in the face of opposition. We can stand in the face of cancer. We can stand in the face of lack because we have right standing with God. And we can point our finger at the devil and declare, you are a defeated foe. And in Jesus' name, you need to back off. It's a gift, guys. It's a free gift. It belongs to you. In Romans, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Man, there's utterance here today. There's utterance here today. Romans 5:17. Read that with me. Ready, read. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. What shall they do? What shall they do? They shall reign when they all get to heaven. No, he's saying you shall reign here and now in this life. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the keys of the kingdom. Literally, in Luke 12:32, and you don't need to turn there, where it says, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Literally, it says this, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the reign.
Yeah.
You have the reign.
Yes,
you have the dominion.
Yeah.
Now, look at the Amplified version of this verse. Amplified version of Romans 5:17. Amen. Amplified says, for if by cause of one man's trespass or lapse offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life. Reigning is what?
King.
Reigning as a king in life. Now we know that he is the king.
Yes.
But understand this, that he has made us a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
He has made us kings and priests unto our God.
Yes.
He is the king of kings.
Amen.
The of kings is you.
Amen.
The of kings is me. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is reigning in life. So put his word deep down into your spirit. Become rooted and planted in him. Focus on what his word says concerning you. And rise up and lift up your voice and speak boldly in the name. Speak boldly my word, saith the Lord, and the word of the Lord shall cause the enemy to flee. He shall come against you one way, but he'll have to flee before you seven ways. Reign, I say, reign as kings in this life through my son. Amen. Glory to God. That's what I'm going to do. That's one of my New Year's revelations. I'm going to reign in life.
Yes.
I'm not going to let this revelation of righteousness slip. I'm not going to let guilt and condemnation hold me back. Even though I may not do everything perfect in 2026, there is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There is the blood, hallelujah, that reconciles us to God.
Yes.
So even though you may not do everything perfect, do not let the devil condemn you.
Amen.
Do not let the devil hold you back from entering into the fullness of what God has got for you in 2026.
Amen.
Say of me, he has done great things, and he has even greater things for me this year. Keith Moore says it this way. Condemnation is the confidence killer. Condemnation is the confidence killer. Well, if that's true, then righteousness is the confidence builder.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Righteousness is the confidence builder. God wants you to be confident. He wants you to be clothed in revelation this year. That you have right standing with God. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. It's what you say about yourself. It's what you think about yourself that makes all the difference. Confidence in Him. Boldness in Him. This righteousness consciousness will affect so many areas of our lives. Are you ready just for a few more? Amen. What about the rest of you? Isaiah 54, verse 14. Let this revelation have an effect on you. Consistently declare who you are in Him. Notice this in verse 14 of Isaiah 54. Let's read this together. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Stop right there. Another way to say it is this. In righteousness you will be rooted. In righteousness you will be planted. In righteousness thou shalt be established. When you are established in righteousness, you will no longer have sin consciousness. You will have a righteous consciousness. When you are established in righteousness, notice this with me, you will be far from oppression. What we could say in light of today is oppression no longer has a hold on me. You shall be far from oppression. Why? For thou shalt not fear. When you have this revelation of righteousness, you're rooted and planted in it, fear has no authority anymore.
Amen.
For thou shalt not fear. And you will be far from terror. There's a lot of terror threats out there. But we should not be afraid. You know, we should be aware of what's going on in the world. But we should be more aware that we are not of this world.
Amen.
And from the other world, He has given us the ability to remain far from terror by declaring, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I haven't told Brenda this yet. She probably won't like it. But we confess every day that no evil befalls us, neither does any plague come nigh our dwelling.
Amen.
But you still need to use common sense. Well, I didn't use common sense last night because I woke up about 6 a.m. and I went out into the garage and the garage door was open all night long. All night long. And the door to the house was open. No, I mean the garage door to the house was open. And the car keys were there. And you're a policeman saying that is a no-no. So the first thing I looked at was, did somebody steal my golf clubs? I saw that Brenda's car was still there, which is a nice car. It's a Lexus. And thank God. Even though you've done stupid things. And what I did was es muy estupido. Es muy estupido. Yo comprendo? Somebody says, speak more Spanish. No, no más, no más. But even though that was a stupid thing to do, God still protected us. You better believe I'm going to check the door before I go to bed. I think if something happened, I must have taken too much cough medicine. I don't know what it was. Know this and understand this, that God has got you. And He watches over you. And His will for you is to be the safest of the safe.
Amen.
His will for you is to be protected every day of your life. I mean, in weather like this, with flash flooding and different things, don't go on 880 and gun your car trying to get home quickly. No, use wisdom. So notice with me, the effect of righteousness is freedom from oppression and freedom from fear. Amplified version says it this way. He says, you shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness in conformity with God's will and order, and then you will be far from, I like this, even the thought of oppression or destruction. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Woo, glory to God. Please pull up Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, as we come to a close of this message. Are you getting anything on this today? I just came by just to remind you who you are. And remain rooted in that. Yeah. Remain planted in that. In the Amplified Version, it says, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated by in anything by your opponents or adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness. Everyone say this, constancy and fearlessness. Amen. Next part of the verse. It will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction. How many of you know the devil knows that his time is just about up? I said the devil knows his time is just about up. It'll be a clear sign, a proof and a seal to them of their impending destruction. But here's what it'll be for you. A sure token and evidence of your deliverance and your salvation, and that from God. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. No condemnation here. No fear here. Victory over sin consciousness. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. When you become a Christian, you should be awaking to righteousness, being rooted in righteousness. What happens? A shift takes place. A shift takes place from sin consciousness to sonship consciousness. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Amen? Another thing that you will have is great peace. Great peace.
Hallelujah.
In Isaiah 32 and verse 17, notice this verse here. It says, and the effect, look at your neighbor and say, the effect.
The effect.
We could say it with this way, the benefit, of righteousness. Notice this, will be peace both internally and externally. And the result of righteousness shall be what? Quietness and confident trust forever. Woo, glory to God. I'm going to ask the musician to come. I've got one more, but I preached long enough. Praise the Lord. Here is another effect of righteousness. Your prayer life will become powerful.
Amen. Yeah, you know who you are.
I think I need to camp there just for a moment. I said your prayer life can become powerful. Amen. How many of you want your prayer life to become more powerful in 2026. There are some things that need prayer. There are some people that need prayer. There are nations that need prayer. Now notice with me in James chapter 5 and verse 17, in the Amplified Version, it says this, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed. Notice the next part of this verse. And restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Read the rest with me. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Stand up, everybody. Powerful prayer can be released as we are planted and rooted in the righteousness consciousness. Amen.